Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Working Dog Wednesday Show on the Fueled by Joy Working Dog Podcast, brought to you by Joy Dog Food. Now, I'm your host, Mike Green. I'm the owner and operator of Cottonville Road Kennels, located in Norwood, North Carolina. I want to let you know, for more information about Joy Dog Food or to find a Joy dealer near you, visit joydogfood.com. Now let's get on to the show.
Are you putting on a youth hunt? Do you need a sponsor for your upcoming field trial? Joy Dog Food would love to help you out. Head over to our contact page on joydogfood.com and fill out the sponsorship application at the top of the page. Our marketing department will then reach out to you with more information on how you can receive your donation. We'll even help you advertise for the event. Applications must be submitted at least 60 days before the date of the event. So what are you waiting for? Head over to joydogfood.com or call 800-245-4125 today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this week. Fueled by Joy, Working Dog Wednesday, and here is part two with Mr. Jason James with JJ's Frontline Bagels. Thanks to him for joining us, and thank you to Mike for bringing this to us. Part two is a good one, so you guys sit back and enjoy.
You know, this is why we love America. You do what you want to do, and that's up to you. But you know, as far as what I do, at 6 months old, I get them started. You know, I may put them with one or two other dogs just to get some pack sense, make sure they got good pack sense. Look at them, see how they're operating within, you know, that trio or something. And then once that maturity level hits just right, because I don't set them up for failure. And we have to be careful with that. If not, we'll set them up, you know, okay, you're going to do it. And you go out there and you sit down. Next thing you know, you're mad and you picked up, throw your dog down through the briar patch, you know. So, no, we don't do that. My daddy did, though. Lord help him. Back in the 80s, there's a lot of dogs took flight. And rest his soul. He ain't with us no more, so he can't defend himself. But nevertheless, that's just kind of a process. You know when it's time to work that dog in and start that solo program, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they got to be ready. And just like tonight with Pearl, I mean, I've been taking her to this spot for some time now. And, you know, I put the collars on her and turn her loose and she'll get up through there and go hunting and stuff. But some of the stuff, you know, that she's doing right now, she lacks a little drive, and I think it's because she's so competitive. Mm-hmm. Another dog with her, I mean, you won't see her.
Yep, I've seen that before.
So that's where I think if I could get another dog that was pretty similar to her and brace together, which I got some buddies, and I'm hoping I can get with them and brace a little bit with them guys and maybe get some of that stuff straightened out.
Right. Well, you know, I understand that dog, you know, and that competitive drive, and then, you know, you take them out there by herself and you don't really see it, but you got another dog on the ground and you see it. I'll tell you a trick that I did with a dog a couple of years ago. Well, I guess it's been about three years ago now or better, but, I was just testing the theory. Because when I would take her out by herself when she was completely solo, man, she wouldn't hunt. She might walk down the road back and forth, you know, and if she happened to cross a feeder track on a grassy road where a rabbit went across, she might fall in there and run it. But she was not determined coming off the tailgate to go find a rabbit by herself.
Yeah.
And so I tested it one time. I said, I'm going to try something and see what happens. Now, this is the truth. So I took her and I loaded up my German wire hair pointer who'd go run dogs. You know, she'd go with me sometimes when I go run. So I loaded her up, took her with me. And when that beagle, when she seen that dog, when I unloaded her, she took off and went straight hunting. I mean, just straight in there. And Roxy's just standing in the road like, you know, what the world am I doing out here? You know, and just hanging out with me, you know, just sniffing around. And that female ran the whole morning by herself. It's just right by herself.
That's interesting.
And so I kept doing that. And I thought maybe if I keep taking Roxy and nobody's going with her, she'll get that mindset of whatever. I ain't worried about that dog. She ain't coming in here to run with me. But, yeah, you know, that's what happens when we get into that, what's it called? Anthropomorphism. When we put human traits onto a dog, you know? and we do it all the time. We'll look at a dog and say, I know what that dog's thinking right there. That dog's thinking about pooping or eating. That dog ain't thinking nothing. That dog don't even know it's a dog, you know?
Right.
So best it knows is what you call it. We do that sometimes, but you know, that female, after I did that for a while and take Roxy, dude, I took her out there by, I thought, well, she's ready to go now. You know, took her out there, turned her off tailgate, nothing, walk up and down the road. She had to have another dog influencing her for her to go. So I know what you're going through there. I've been there. I sure have. I ended up selling that female to Brandon Means up in Virginia, and she was, as far as I know, I don't even know if he still got her or not, but she was a nice dog. You put her in with one other dog, and she would shine like new money, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Pearl does really good by herself, but there's just, like I say, there's just a few things that I'm like, and every dog's got something. We all talk about that. They've all got something that they're lacking just a little bit, yeah, I mean, all in all, she's a good dog, so she's not going nowhere for sure. I mean, she's less than, she's not even 2 years old yet. Right.
Now, and that's another interesting thing, you know, when you're giving a dog amount of time, everybody sets their own time limit on a dog to see that dog, to give that dog that chance, to how much. I know guys that'll keep them year and a half, 2 years, you know, 2.5 years before they give up on them. They'll just stay the course. And that's good. Everybody's got a different time frame as to how much time they give a dog to please them or to be able to eat their dog food, you know?
Right.
So everybody's different on that. And, you know, according to AKC, a dog's a puppy until it's 2 years old. According to Cottonville Road Kennels, you're a puppy until you're 6 months and 1 day. You better be getting in there and getting with it. So, I'm gonna give you 1 day past 6 months. You better be getting it. About like my daddy raised me and my brother. You know, we was youngins, and daddy's expecting us to know how to do everything. You know what the world. So,
kind of like, do you know how to swim? And throws you right in.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know how to swim. Yeah, you do. Watch. So, here you go. I can prove it to you. You know how to swim. Here you go. Sling. And with that, it comes into training. So what's your training program look like, from puppy on up? And I know you're working with this dog here, but you said you started them by yourself. So what's that look like? Are you out walking them? And there again, that's a different kind of solo. That's a training. That's a starting process. So you mentioned a little bit, but elaborate on that a little bit.
It's kind of funny because I live in town, and the way I've started, I started Willow, Charlie, Smoke. Did I start Pearl that way? Yeah, I did. So typically what I'll do is I'll put them on a leash and I'll walk them around town here, because there's always rabbits in the evening setting out along people's properties. And I'll do that for a while. And I got one of them retractable leads that I put them on, and I'll show them rabbits and I'll let them take off after them and let them smell them, and then hopefully my neighbors don't call the cops on me because I'm running through their yard with a beagle.
suspicious guy. He stole somebody's beagle. Yeah.
But I've done that quite a bit, and that gets them fired up. And then my buddy Jim, where I had Pearl at tonight, his place. I'll go over there in like an evening, and a lot of times, like down his driveway, the rabbits will be setting out along the driveway, and I'll hold them and walk them up to it and let them see it take off, and then I'll put them down and see if they go in after it. And if they do, great. And if not, we go until we find another one, and we just keep doing that over and over until they, pick it up. And that's pretty much how I've started every beagle I've had.
Well, I'm going to run out there on a limb and guess that there's very few guys on here well, at least that I know, that are walking their dogs through town, jumping flower pot rabbits and running through the suburbs of Decatur, Illinois. I mean, excuse me, Indiana. And I'm going to say you in a league on your own, brother. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you're there, but. It brought me back to a memory I had years ago. I used to mess with a few squirrel dogs here and there. My dad, he was a big squirrel dog guy, and he sent a dog over to my house for me to hunt. And the dog wasn't really all that good of a squirrel dog, which is why I ended up feeding the dog. But I was down over, we got a park over here close by the house, Rock Creek Park. And I'm telling you, it's right there in city. Eat slap up with squirrels. And so I'd walk that dog out there and sit down beside a tree and hold that dog in my lap. And when them squirrels would come down out of them trees, just be a pile of them running around everywhere. And they ain't scared of people or nothing because they're town squirrels or park squirrels. And that's how I started that dog. So I'm a stranger to it with the rabbit dogs, but I can understand that. It was really easy too, man. That's the best training grounds you can have for squirrel dogs, take them to the park. Squirrels hoping you got a cracker, you gonna throw him, and I turn a dog loose on him.
It's funny. I mean, I see these guys on Facebook now that you can see all that kind of stuff, and they'll get a tame rabbit and they'll put it in a cage and they'll turn their puppies loose, bark at it, and I'm like, shoot, I don't need to do that. I don't need to feed that daggone thing. And I'm just walking down the alley here and see rabbits running around and put them on them. So that's, I don't know, it's funny. I mean, it's worked.
It's genius, dude. That's just absolute
so.
genius, is what it is. I mean, you need a Hall of
well
Fame coat. I mean,
well like
that's genius.
it does two things, actually. What that does, it helps them to get used to walking on a lead, which a lot of dogs they want to pull on you and all that. And when I walk them around, I don't let them do that stuff. They got a mind when they're walking with me.
That's right.
So.
Right. One of the things that you don't have to worry about though, there in neighborhoods and stuff like that, right there. If you're operating that, obviously people aren't speeding through neighborhoods and roads and stuff
Right.
like that right there, like we do out here. You dogs get over our two hills over, they might be on a big road somewhere or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, and your close proximity to your dog. And so I think it's genius, dude. Honestly, I think it's super smart to do it that way. And it's cool that you've got access to that, that type of I guess we're gonna call it a facility. You should start people's dogs. You could be like, yeah, send me $200 a bag of Joy dog food. And your dog, and I had that joker running and won't be no time. What are you gonna do? Don't worry about it. You just send me your dog. I had that joker leading on the lead strap. I had that joker running rabbits. Don't worry about it. Just come on. They get to your house, they look around, say, where's your training facility? You're in it, Holmes. You're right here, you're in it. So
To be real honest, I mean that has crossed my mind before. I really do enjoy starting pups. That's why I do it myself. I like to see that excitement of the pup when it starts smelling that first rabbit and its tail, starts a wagging real big, and they get all excited, and I don't know. It's like a high for me whenever I see a puppy, just get it, and so.
That's cool. And I know that feeling. Man, I love it when I'm out there and I've got one that's come out of the training pen and I've got it out there by itself and I know what's over in there and I know there's rabbits there. I love to hear that first whimper. or that first strike that they make, you know, just I love to hear it because I know that we're at least heading in the right direction. Now, I've been out there a few times and didn't get nothing out of a dog, you know. And they not make it. But as far as being able to stay here at the kennel, so it's got to be in your blood. You got to, there again, like you said, it's kind of like a high. It's that adrenaline of seeing all this planning and everything you've done come to fruition, and you're ready to roll. You know, the dog's ready to roll. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool there.
And you super patient. I mean, you can't be aggravated. You gotta be chill about it when you're working with pups and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely, and it does take a lot. That's why I carry my little chair, and I just sat down on my little stool there in the shade somewhere, and I just let it be what it's gonna be. You know, you're either gonna do it or you ain't gonna do it. You know, but let's talk about traits in the dogs. What is it that you like to see in a dog when you're coming together, when you pick out a dog, you raise a litter of puppies or whatever you do, and what is it that you're looking for in that dog initially, before the rabbit hunting, before the training, for anything? What are you looking for in that dog?
Oh my goodness, this is gonna get I like a pretty dog. I'm sorry. If it don't look good,
pretty dog. I can't run no ugly. That's why I ain't got no blue ticks. No, I'm just kidding, guys. But seriously, but I'm just joking. No, really, seriously, I ain't got none. So,
no. I like the tricolored. I like a nice looking black blanket dog. Good confirmation. I don't know. They just got to look good to me, and I'm not crazy on like some of the red dogs and the yellow dogs and all that good stuff. I don't know. I just like a good tricolor dog.
Well, me and you's on the same page right there, brother, because that's what I love. I love a black back tricolor, you know, just a basic down to earth, the normal look, you know, of a beagle black, you know, I mean, a brown head and a white neck and a black back with white leggings and you know, a few specks here and there on their legs, up and down their legs or whatever. I'm like you. So, you know, when the day comes and as the years roll on and you finally get to dog number 20 and we can all rest assured it's going to be a tricolor dog, high probability there.
Yeah, it's probably pretty high probability.
So if you come down here and I got a litter of lemons and a litter of blue ticks and a litter of and tricolors, I know where you're going, right? And if you come down here and I got a litter of lemons and a litter of blue ticks, you just look around and say, "What the world's going on down here?" Because my green don't have these colored dogs.
You so, got another over there somewhere else with the right color.
yeah what else you got around here, Holmes? so you like that trait. What, you know, you like good confirmation, so a good built dog that's even and equal across the head to the tail to the hips to the withers, everything's good on that dog right there. So once we get ready to pick out a puppy and say, okay, this is the one I want to hunt, it's a pretty dog, it's the color I like, it's built the way I like, you know, what are you looking for? Anything specific, or are you just going to throw it up in the air and let's see what we got?
I guess that's no, I mean, actually ask that question again. I'm a little confused on it a little bit here.
I can't talk Indiana. Okay, so you got to roll. You got to roll with the Southern talk in here. I don't got Google Translate. We're just gonna have to make it work. But when you've made your pick, you know, or you've got a couple puppies there that you're gonna pick from. Is there anything about them that stands out as far as what you're looking for to lead you to believe that that's the dog you want to start? That's the dog you want to hunt. You know, or you feel like it's gonna be a good hunting dog? Because, you know, as much as we wished it would be, color don't run rabbits. So I guess
the other thing I guess I'd look at other than color is just how they respond to you when you're messing with them. I mean, if I see one that's like timid, I'm not picking that pup up. I've had some timid dogs, and they're a pain in the butt,
Yeah.
and so I don't like that trait at all in them. So I would stay away from that. I like a bolder pup, one that would come up to you and stuff. So if, yeah.
Yeah. So we call that a soft dog. When they're timid like that, that's what we call soft. And a little soft, then sometimes they'll harden up and get right. But you're right. A lot of times, if they're like that when they're a pup, takes a lot of attention, a lot of TLC to get them to really come around. And then you got to worry about, are they going to be ready to train? If they're that soft, how are you going to train them?
Right,
And
right.
so I agree with you. I agree with you on that for sure. So, and then, so I meant to ask you this a little bit earlier, so I'm going to circle back now. 29 years you've been running beagles for 29 years. How did that, what sparked your interest, and how did you get into them 29 years ago?
That's an interesting question there too. So the buddy that I go to and run my dogs at right now, his name's Jim Hunter, and he owns own well, he still owns it, but he's retired. He owns an auto mechanic shop. And back when I was a kid, in high school and stuff, growing up, my parents always went to him and had their cars worked on, and my uncles and everybody went to him and had cars worked on, and he was a coon hunter, and he had a few beagles. And so he knew I liked the deer hunt, because back then I was really big into bow hunting and gun hunting for deer and stuff, and that was just what I did. And he got on me one day and he goes, "Hey, you want to go rabbit hunting sometime?" I'm like, "Sure." And he goes, "Now I'm just telling you right now, when we get done, you're going to want to buy a beagle." I said, "Yeah, maybe." And so we went hunting, and when I first heard them dogs circling that first rabbit, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is so cool." And yeah, ever since that day he took me hunting, I was hooked. And wasn't long after that, and I ended up getting my first beagle. I guess another person that would have influenced me on dogs a little bit too would have been my grandpa. My grandpa was a big coon hunter, but the problem was, is I was so young when he had coon hounds, and then he passed away before I got old enough to be able to go with him, and I would help him feed his coon hounds and stuff like that. So I always had a love for dogs and stuff like that. And then when Jim took me that day rabbit hunting with him, yeah, that was the end of the story. I'm hooked.
Did you give up deer hunting?
I did at the beginning of getting the rabbit dogs, a little bit. At least I backed off of it a little bit. And then I got back into deer hunting pretty good, but at that point I'd slimmed down on dogs even more. I think I only had one dog at that time when I kind of got back to doing some deer hunting. And then obviously now I'm back up to three dogs, and the deer hunting's fell to the wayside.
Just off three dogs? Good gracious, you couldn't do it if you had 11. Ain't no way. Well, you deer did be overpopulated up there. So,
Well, I
your
had a
wife,
few things.
would be like, I'm gone. So.
I don't. Yeah, that's probably. Yeah, I just get in trouble with my wife all the time over this stuff. I gotta watch what I say here.
Yeah, I know it. I know it, Mrs. James. Do not hold him accountable for any of this or consequences due to the conversation. I've influenced it. So,
She knows I love the deer hunt, but yeah, there again, I mean, I want to put my time into the beagles,
yeah, right.
and so I got to choose my battles.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's very good advice for everybody. Choose your battles. Me, I just wear Kevlar all the time and go. Bible says it's better to dwell in the forest than in the house with a cantankerous woman. So I just go deer hunt. No, I'm just picking. The Bible does really say that, but no, my wife is awesome. My wife wins every time when in anything because she's awesome she deserves it. She's hardworking and she's very supportive of anything and everything. I mean, because you know me. Dude, I might be running deer dogs this week, running rabbit dogs in between deer dogs and hog dogs, and so.
Hey, I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm always. I mean, Mrs. James, consider yourself lucky.
Just shakes her head when I tell her how many days some of these guys run dogs and do this and that. Yeah, she didn't come. Her family wasn't, at least her mom and dad. And her brother and sisters, none of them were into hunting. Now she had uncles and stuff that were big into coon hunting and stuff like that, but her family just wasn't into that. And so she just thinks it's weird and stuff like that. But
yeah,
that's all right.
That's okay. That's all right. She can, you know, that's all right. Well, just appreciate her and love her and do right. But don't let me catch you washing no dishes. Say no, I'm just kidding. I bought a dishwasher, so I'm guilty
just
too.
The other day.
Oh man, yeah, I'm glad this is pre-recorded. It's not live. Yeah. We'd hear the door swing open. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Say,
she's in the room. I don't know if she can hear me.
Say it ain't my fault. It's that country boy down there in North Carolina's fault. You know, and that's, you know, getting into it the way that you did and coming about, you know, it's always interesting. Well, you know, all the people I talk to, it's always interesting that the different ways that people come in, but generally it's somebody introduced them. It's very rare that I talk to somebody that just thought one day they seen somebody rabbit hunting or they seen a video on Facebook or something, you know, whatever, you know, or at least maybe years ago it wasn't Facebook or whatever it was, you know, got them inspired to go. It's always, you know, family tradition or a friend got them in or somebody they met got them interested in. And that's how we keep this tradition going, man. We just keep introducing new people. We keep pointing children to the woods, you know, point them to the great outdoors and what the good Lord's give us to enjoy. And stay focused on keeping the tradition of running hounds alive. I had a conversation with a guy just the other week, and we were talking about keeping that tradition alive and not getting, you know, regardless of what we run or who it is or whatever, just staying focused on what the goal is. The goal is to enjoy the tradition that we have of running hounds. I mean, it's not just the United States. I mean, I got friends in Sicily that send me videos of them running rabbits over there with Branko dogs, you know, or Cottonville Road dogs. I mean, we've got them all over the world, and guys send me videos and stuff, and they're great. You know, it's a tradition all over the world, a running game with hounds. And so whether it's hog dogs, deer dogs, coon dogs, bird dogs, or whatever, they're our hunting buddies, right? So with that, you know, what's one thing that you think as a houndsman that we can do to keep this tradition alive? Besides just introducing new people, I mean, is there conversations that we need to have? Do we need to hire a politician? You know, I don't know. I guess what I'm asking is, in Indiana, what is the overwhelming public opinion on hound running?
Yeah, I don't think we have a big issue here in Indiana. Because, I mean, the only thing that we have here is squirrels, rabbits, and coon. And so, I guess we got coyotes that they run with dogs. But that That would probably be the only one here in Indiana that gets a little bit of flack, is the guys that run the coyotes with the dogs, just because it takes so, you got to have so much permission.
Oh yeah, covering so much land.
And this is flat land, so and we've got little half mile and mile sections here in Indiana, and this one half mile section, this person might own it that doesn't want you to be in there, but then the other three around them, don't care. And so hard to keep them dogs off of that little section, because you just don't know what way that coyote's going to go.
No, that's right.
So those guys are probably taking more heat than anybody else. Land around here is getting so hard to get permission to even hunt. Nobody wants you on it anymore because of liability issues, and then you got guys that are leasing different properties up, and that's kind of why, I go to the reservoir and stuff, because that's all state land and stuff like that. And but yeah.
Well, that then kind of would say that the best way to do it in Indiana would be just like we do it down here, be respectful of other people's property as best as you can. And when there is a problem, and so, what I do, if my dogs get off on a piece of property I don't have permission to be on and I need to get them back, generally, I would contact the landowner if at all possible. Like I say, hey, but now our law down here gives us the right, to go get our hounds. We can't carry guns. We can't, if you're coon hunting, dogs tree up over there on Old Man Smith's land, you can go get your dog. You don't have you have, matter of fact, you have to go get your dog, but you can't carry a firearm onto their property when you do it. So now we run deer dogs down here, and so when we do that, generally you'll have clubs that are deer dog clubs, and they've got 5, 6, 7,000 acres.
Wow.
And just like my club down there, I think we've got 5,200 acres down there on my club.
Wow.
We run deer dogs down there, we run rabbit dogs down there, and there used to be some coon hunters in the club, but I don't think they're there now. But so we've got all this land. That's one good thing about being in the South and being in this area here. We've got a lot of big land, but there are certain counties in North Carolina that you can't run deer dogs.
Okay.
And I think it's based off of population and the amount of land tracts versus, somewhere where the land's chopped up a lot more. We've got still got some big land tracts down here, that people that have not been broke into subdivisions or, broke up into lots or anything like that nature. So I guess the main thing is be respectful of other people's property, right? The less
Oh,
people
yeah.
we got mad at us, that's the less number of people that's going to be going calling a congressman trying to get him to get rid of the right to run a hound. And
Oh, yeah.
believe me, they're out there doing it too. They got all kind of people trying to stop it all the time. But hey, man, this is American tradition. This is as American as the Revolutionary War. I mean, it's just part of our history, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. I really am. Got a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances out there, people that I know met over the years, and I know you have as well. Well, Jason, any last words that you want to lay out? Any shout outs you want to make? You better mention your wife. Any shout outs?
Just thank you for calling on me for the interview, and for man, I've listened to, I can't tell you how many of your live videos with the dogs and stuff, and shoot, we wouldn't even be here today if I wouldn't have been listening to any of your live videos.
Well, that's true. Yeah, 'cause that's how we first met and over the internet. So, first started talking. Sure did.
It's funny, I'm a welder, and so we're allowed to wear earbuds, and Man, I pop them in and I'll turn on different podcasts, and then if your notification pops up and says you're live, I'll flip over to that and listen to you, and I'll be sitting here welding away and just listening to you talk about different things, and a lot of good things. I mean, you give a lot of really good information out on, just how to take care of the dogs with, with down where you guys are at with dealing with snakes and that kind of stuff. These podcasts that guys are doing, I mean, there's a lot of good information in them, and I really enjoy listening to them. Learned a lot from different ones. So yeah, I mean, yeah, shout out to you for that. And I mean, you got me. There's well, just like with my Garmin, I'd got a Garmin and I had it for I don't know how long. I had it maybe a year and a half, and you're sitting there talking about all the trouble you're having, and you're talking about switching to another one, and man, I just spent $900 on this thing. And I'm thinking, man, it ain't worth a crap. And so, anyway, and so, you give a lot of good information, and you started talking about the Joy dog food and stuff, and I don't even know what I was feeding at that point, and I just kept hearing you talking about the Joy dog food and how good it was, and I mean, I had fed it like years ago, for a short time, and I can't even tell you what I thought of it back then, because the guy that had it, just one day he no longer had it, and I was like, oh, I guess I got to get something different. And but anyway, so I kept hearing you talk about it, and I've always liked the Joy logo. I don't know why, but I just like the Joy logo.
It's
It's just a pretty
iconic, man. That's right.
And so, long story short, I finally looked up a dealer around here, and just I'm really close to the Ohio line, and this Amish guy actually sells the Joy dog food that I buy over on the Ohio Indiana state line. And so yeah, for it's probably close to a year that I've been feeding Joy, and everything's been going good.
Well, I recorded a I was actually a guest on another podcast the other day, Hound's Tales. I don't know if you've ever listened to him on there, Mr. James, up out of Virginia. It's mostly deer dogs what he talks about on there, but he and I he had reached out and wanted me to be a guest on his podcast, and so I obliged, and I don't know when that's going to air or whatever. Usually, these things we record them, it's a few weeks out, but anyways, he and I got to talking, and he's a Joy dog food guy, and we was just telling them the truth about Joy. You don't even got to go run your dogs. You can just feed them Joy, and they'll be good dogs. And you don't no, we was though. If you get to listen to it, I'll share it when it comes out. But I believe I met somebody as about half crazy as I am. Anyways, we had a good time on there. But we do appreciate you coming on. We do appreciate everything that you've done. And I see your post on Facebook. I see your and a matter of fact, I think I seen where Joy had shared some of your posts as well. And they hadn't shared any of yours?
I don't know. Maybe they have. I don't know if I saw them though, if they did.
Let me go look and see. If they hadn't, we gonna get that going right there, because I'd have bet the bank I seen that on there the other day. Let me scroll for just a second. Right here. Looking, looking, looking. Looking some more. There's Cottonville Road. Man, I tell you what, I could have. Yeah. No, it wasn't you. Well, we're gonna get you on there. It was It was Brian Locklear. It was one of Percy's pups. If you look, he had shared them at dog named Smokey the Bear, and that one named Callie. That Callie dog is sitting on the right. If you've seen Percy, if you've seen her, you've seen Percy, because she ain't as big as him, but she's close to it. But yeah, that was the picture I was thinking about. But I see you post on there and stuff, and we're going to make sure before long I'm gonna have to get Ray Lynn, see if we can't get some of your, because I've seen you tag Joey in some of your stuff. On there, so.
Yeah, you know, it's just like the videos I do of the dogs. Those videos are really, I share them on Facebook, but you want to know the real truth of why I share them videos on Facebook?
Why is that?
It's because when I get to be 70 or 80 years old and I can no longer do that, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen to those videos.
Oh, I got you. Well, you know what? I'm gonna sit back and watch them with you. So, if I live to be 70, hopefully when I'm 70, I'm still running. My Uncle Bobby, he was, I think he passed away when he was 86 or something like that. Lord, in his 70s, he was still getting it. I remember when I was a boy, we had a guy by the name of Fred Smith that hunted with us, and I was a youngin. And Fred was 84 years old, carried a sawed-off pump 870 shotgun. The joker was illegal as the day is long. And it had to have been. But, boy, when he pulled the daggone trigger, he killed the rabbit, and he'd shoot the rabbit and everything around it. And because that thing had a spread on it now. But he was 84. I don't know when Fred passed away, but they was my daddy's hunting buddies. But, Yeah. So,
I hope I'm still able to get out there and do that and stuff at that age, but you know, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I like to go back and listen to them though, too, because I pick up on stuff and I learn stuff that, you know, when you're out there, you think you hear everything they're doing, but when you go back and play that back over and listen to it again, I mean, you can pick up on some different things. And so, yeah, I like doing them for, I mean, it's just like the NFL football. You're in there, playback, you know, and yeah. So,
well, I appreciate you watching the videos there on my Cottonville Road page when I'm live. I hadn't been live in a while. it's just been busy time of the year, but, here in just about two more weeks, I guess, after this weekend. I'm fixing to get busy, so get ready to put your earbuds in. I'm gonna be out there getting my dogs ready, straightened out, and letting everybody see the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know how I do. I don't care what to do. I show it all. So none of us have perfect dogs.
No, we don't.
So, Jason, man, I really do appreciate you. Joy Dog Food appreciates you being a customer for them and sharing and tagging them in the stuff that you do on social media. We absolutely appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming on here, being willing to come on tonight and have this conversation, because you know what? I made my mind up whenever they asked me to do this podcast. I made my mind up that it was not just going to be the world beaters and the legends that I talked to, because – once upon a time, them people was somebody with three dogs too. And we all got to start somewhere. And you've been in it for 29 years, dude. You're not a rookie. This is not something new to you. Just because you ain't never won the world or anything like that, or the Nationals, or done nothing like that, don't make a man any less of a houndsman. It is, it's what's in your heart and what you love to do with your dogs. That's what matters. And we really appreciate you. Appreciate what you stand for. And look, we appreciate Mrs. James. All right, everybody.
Yep,
we appreciate her. And let the man have four dogs, ma'am. So,
you know, that's a funny thing right there. I do actually try to talk her into that, because when I leave one home, that's not normally good. They start barking a little. If they have a little company, they don't tend to bark as much, you know? So I've tried to tell her that, but she's just not catching on yet.
You know what? forgiveness is easier than permission. Just go on and do it.
Oh, I did that. That got me in trouble.
Man, you're awesome, dude. Most guys be like, I tell my wife what to do around here, and she's going to do what I say. Whatever, Holmes. Jason James knows what you do. We know. So, now, my wife, you ask her how many dogs I got, I don't think she'll say it's too many. And she don't got a clue what goes on out yonder. So, but now I don't live in the suburbs either. So, Jason, I appreciate you, old buddy. I appreciate you coming on. Joy Dog Food appreciates you. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate each one of you tuning in this week and to the Fueled by Joy Working Dog Podcast. Remember, if you ever have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, you can email me at mike@joydogfood.com. Remember, go to joydogfood.com if you have any questions, looking for a dealer, looking for nutritional values, or anything information dealing with the dog food. You can usually find that on their website. That's joydogfood.com. God bless each one of you, and we'll talk to you next time.